The Pathfinder by Margaret Mayhew, read by Clive Mantle. Prologue, 1943. The target was Berlin, the big city, headquarters of the Third Reich, Hitler's lair, the black heart of the enemy. If it hadn't been such a bastard of an op, it would have been a positive pleasure. So far, they'd clobbered Essen, Dusseldorf, Bremen, Mannheim, Frankfurt, Hamburg, Cologne, Bochum, Hanover, Kiel, and done a couple of fairly boring trips to Italy. They were all the same to him. You flew there, you dropped your bombs, you got the hell out as fast as you could, and flew back again. But Berlin had a particularly nasty reputation. First, it was a bloody long way away, and second, it was much better defended than most. New radar devices, decoy targets, fighter flares, and a whole lot more flak guns. The chop rate was pretty high. As Harrison and his crew rode out in the truck, he knew they were all jumpy, though naturally they didn't show it. Nobody ever showed fear. Not done. Personally, he'd stopped worrying about dying round about their fifth op. Given the known odds, it seemed more or less inevitable that he'd buy it sooner or later. They clambered up into the bomber, and he settled himself in the pilot seat, went through some checks, and started up the four engines, one after the other. The Lancaster rolled out onto the perimeter track and joined the queue of other bombers heading for the marshalling point. Waiting to turn onto the runway, he went through a whole lot more checks before it was their turn to take off. In the beginning, this had been the moment when he'd always wondered whether they'd make it back to Earth alive. Now, he didn't give it a thought. All that was in his mind was the job in hand. The laden bomber started down the runway, and he increased power until she lifted from the ground and rose majestically into the night. They crossed the enemy coast north of Bremerhaven and then turned east over the Elbe, droning on across a blacked-out Germany towards Berlin. As they approached the target, searchlight beams groped for them and flak exploded round them, tossing the aircraft violently like a ship on a stormy sea. He held her as steady as he could for his bomb aimer until their load of high explosives tumbled out and fell towards the target. As he turned the Lancaster away hard to port, he glanced down for a second at the city below, at a great mass of leaping flames that lit up the buildings and the streets and the river, at a raging inferno. Serve the bastards right, he thought. They asked for it, and by God, they've got it. They sowed the wind, and now they're reaping the whirlwind. She crouched in a corner of the cellar with her hands pressed over her ears. In the opposite corner, her mother was clasping her small brother close against her, shielding him with her body, and near them, her grandmother and grandfather were clutched tightly in each other's arms. Her other brother was standing defiantly upright, shaking his fist at the ceiling and shouting. She couldn't hear what he was saying, but she knew he was cursing the British Royal Air Force, using up all the bad words he knew. She cursed them too, for the hideous suffering they were inflicting night after night, and for the merciless destruction of the city, for the deaths of thousands of defenceless old people, women, and children, and for the hundreds more who would be dead by dawn. On and on it went. The whistling shriek of bombs raining down, the ear-splitting explosions, the seismic shaking of the ground beneath her. The paraffin lamp on its hook was swinging violently to and fro. Another terrific explosion close by brought down a cloud of debris and dust, and at another, closer still, the lamp went out, leaving them in total darkness. She began to pray, babbling the words to herself. O God, in thy infinite mercy, spare us. Mary, Mother of God, save us. The next explosion was so great that, at first, she thought a bomb had come right through into the cellar. She lay stunned, the breath knocked from
Sample complete. Ready to continue?